I do spend a lot of time preparing my sermons, or Phil will tell you. Unfortunately, this week I made the mistake of leaving my printed sermon on the kitchen table, and the Holy Spirit, i.e. Pauline, happened to see it. And she said, "Why are you putting that right at the beginning of my sermon?" So normally I stick to the script on the first part, but I'm not going to in this case. I'm just going to tell you as I remember it. Before I took early retirement, I worked in Leeds in an office block. I was a manager of residential property, and I had a small team working with me. I had my own secretary and had my own office. And as well as looking after all the property, I had to like manage the staff, man management, lady management, call it what you will, just to make sure that everything ran smoothly. And nine times out of ten, but I remember one particular time, I always had like an open door policy, and my secretary came into the office and shut the door behind her, which isn't a good sign. And then asked me if she could have a quiet word with me, which is an even worse sign. And she said she was in the office on behalf of her colleagues, and she'd like me to speak with a fellow female worker about her personal hygiene, BO. Now, I must admit, I felt a bit uneasy as she was telling me. I was gulping a bit. And I was already running through the scenarios as she was telling me that I had to obviously speak to this lady and really tell her an uncomfortable truth. So it wasn't going to be an easy conversation. But the thought came to me as I was preparing this, that the message of John is an uncomfortable truth. Luke's gospel introduces us to a man who not only had no problem with confronting the truth, but he actually embraced it, amplified it, and shouted it out so that others would know the truth, however uncomfortable it was for them and him, for after all, it cost him his life. The man, of course, was John the Baptist, who was a voice of one calling in the desert, preparing the way for the Lord. The truth he was preaching was a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And where he was doing it, in a desert of all places, where few people venture. I suppose putting it in today's context, it's a bit like us trying to get the message of Jesus Christ across to the people out there who don't know Jesus and are themselves are spiritually dry and thirsty, and in some cases seem unwilling to accept the gift of living water. Now another prophet before John, Isaiah, said this, "For I will pour out water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground, and I will pour out my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants." But in Luke's time frame, the desert, for some, including John the Baptist, was a place of retreat for spiritual contemplation and refreshment, borne out by a very disciplined, aesthetic lifestyle. Hence, John's clothing, which was camel hair and a diet of locust and wild honey. So who were the crowd who found John's message so uncomfortable, and why? Well, going back to Matthew's gospel, he tells us that John saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing. So I believe it was these groups that he was picking on in particular from the bigger crowd that was there. And he's bringing them out for criticism, really, in how he described them as a brood of vipers. But his obvious anger was not just for them, but for the whole nation of Israel, who was really moving away from God. John's message of repentance was echoing the words of another Old Testament prophet, Elijah, who 900 years earlier had challenged the people of Israel about their worship of the god Baal, a pagan god, with the words, "If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then you must follow him. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if your God is materialism, then follow him." People did not listen and did not repent and were judged accordingly. You can read about it in Kings. And so it was in John's day. The people were drifting away from God, in some ways encouraged by those who were in positions of power and authority, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, John was happy to baptize those who truly repented and turned again to God. But this was not the case with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They were at the Jordan, not for the baptism, but for John himself. They wanted to see with their own eyes what kind of message John was giving. And more importantly, was that message in any way a threat to their way of life? Therefore, the power and control they had over the people of Israel. And the message that John was proclaiming was an uncomfortable truth for them. It was one that they didn't want to hear. And John knew it. Hence his denouncement, "You brood of vipers, you snakes." In other words, "You hypocrites." John knew exactly what they were and what they were thinking. Because it tells us, "And do not begin to say to yourselves, We have Abraham as our father." They believed that because they were descendants of the patriarch Abraham, they were immune from judgment. A bit like some today who think that coming to church saves them. John knew the excuses they would find to dodge the message he was proclaiming of repentance. More so that it carried with it a foreboding, uncomfortable truth. And that truth is judgment, the wrath of God. John speaks of the acts of God's judgment. "Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath?" Really strong message. The wrath of God was something the people of the Old Testament would have been familiar with. You just have to think of the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the 10 plagues that God sent. All events where he visibly demonstrated his anger against a wayward people. But that was then. What about today? Well, it's the fact that baptism and repentance are two components that are pivotal to the Christian faith. What about God's judgments, though? It reminds me of a few years ago, as is our want, Pauline's want, we went to Marks and Spencer's. And as we got in the lift, those who know it at Putsy, it goes up to the next floor. I got in, and as I got in, another elderly couple got in with us, and I pressed the button to go up, and jocularly I said, "Next stop, heaven." And the lady who came in, quick as a flash, said, "Yes, but first we have to go to the checkout." And I've never forgotten that. And I thought, wow, I'm going to work that in a sermon sometimes. And here it is. So John's language tells us that he wasn't as frivolous as I was and that lady was about God's judgment. There is a wrath to come for those who refuse to truly repent and believe in the gospel. Harsh words, I know, an uncomfortable truth without a doubt, but it needs to be told, and unlike many today, John was not afraid to tell it. So, as well as the crowd asked John, "What shall we do? How shall we live our lives today?" I'd just like to go back to my working days and that female colleague who I had to speak to. I did speak to her in private and tactfully explained to her the situation. No, I didn't. I bottled it. I passed it on to personnel. they had to tell her. It was an uncomfortable truth that I couldn't speak it out. I'm sorry, I just couldn't. I couldn't find the words to say it. In her defense, and please forgive me, ladies, she was a youngish woman, but she had four very, very young children, and she worked full time. That's all I'm going to say. And she did take it on board because the staff came in and thanked me for speaking to her and that they'd seen an improvement. I just dropped my head when they said that. She did clean herself. But you've got to remember that no amount of physical cleansing in a spiritual sense will make our body clean on the inside. As much as it did for those Pharisees claiming that being descendants of Father Abraham would save them. Baptism and true repentance are important, yes, without a doubt. But just going through the motions are not enough. And John realised this, but he didn't have the advantage of passing the book on to a personnel officer or using the contemporary art of flattery. I read this by the retired Bishop John Pritchard. John, talking about John the Baptist, doesn't wrap his listeners in comfy layers of cotton wool spiritually, but opens up the doors of their wardrobes, the lids of their larders, and clasps of their wallets. Think about the giving campaign. In other words, John told them and us to share, to be fair, and not to scare. Now, all those actions are not just humane utterances, they are spiritual practices that helps us prepare and to receive Jesus Christ into our very souls and into the world at this Advent time. When I was taught, when I did my learning on being a reader, it was drilled into me that when you preach, and I think Paul and Phil will also agree with this, that you always finish off a sermon with a message of hope. And I realise that this sermon's been a bit strong. I'm not calling you a brood of vipers, but you know the message I'm trying to get across. The message John was trying to get across was really a hard message. But it's a hard message for us all today, and especially people out there. So I will finish with a message of hope. So as we and the whole world waits expectantly for the coming again of Jesus, we've got to be encouraged. We've got to be excited. We've got to be expectant that the good news of Emmanuel, God with us, is real. And we will all rejoice at this good news as we prepare for his coming. Amen.